One of the things that we have discussed at length in our First Peter Fellowship with the Word class on Sunday mornings is the difference in communication today versus years ago, especially in biblical times. It was especially apparent in letter writing. Many of us just don't write letters anymore. I was never much of a letter writer anyway. I only wrote a letter when I absolutely had to. But historically, when do people typically write letters? As I thought about this, I thought about the days when somebody's on military duty, separated from loved ones. That's probably one of the times when most people write letters. Or maybe it's Christmas cards, that yearly letter to catch up on what's been happening in your life or your family. Now many of us use Facebook or FaceTime to do those same things. Most of us email and or text. Communication is short and sweet. Or maybe not so sweet, as the case may be. We use abbreviations. We use abbreviations and emojis to reflect our emotions. We use one-word responses. No punctuation. And our emails and our texts don't even typically open with a greeting of sorts. In many instances while texting, I even shorten my response of okay to just K. I've been told that this is offensive or something, but I've never been able to figure out exactly why. But how different is it for us then as we read Paul or St. Peter's letters, in which the greeting can consume an opening paragraph or maybe even the first chapter. The Apostle Paul, along with Silvanus and Timothy, wrote a letter to the church in the bustling city of Thessalonica. This wasn't just any letter. It was a beacon of hope and a testimony to the deep affection and spiritual connection that Paul had with these people that he met on a previous journey. He writes, "Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace." This greeting, rooted in the ancient Christian communication traditions, contains more than just a casual hello or good morning. It's a greeting that combines God's grace and the peace that surpasses all understanding. Today in our world where interactions are often limited to one-word text, abbreviations, and hurried emails, let's take up the challenge to revive this timeless tradition. Let's extend the love of God and His grace to one another in more purposeful ways, not just on Sunday mornings. Every text, every email, every conversation is an opportunity for us to shine the light of God, to shine this light of faith that we share, that binds us together, the eternal promise that we have that gives us hope. And as we continue deeper into Paul's letter, there's an unmistakable warmth and affection that radiates from his words. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. It may be hard for us to imagine that the Apostle Paul, with his missionary efforts and the stormy seas that he endured, taking a moment to thank God specifically for the believers in Thessalonica. Their faith, as reported to Paul by Timothy, was not just visible, it was vibrant, it was vocal, it was invaluable. For us today, we can learn an important lesson here. In a world that's quick to criticize and judge, especially while wearing the masks of social media, how often do we actually appreciate the godly men and women around us? those who, against the current trend of society, continue to shine with the love of Christ. We need to be reminded every so often to intentionally recognize and appreciate the faith and the service of our fellow believers. We need to be a church where stories are shared, where gratitude is voiced, and where every redeemed person is celebrated. For in the end, every person in the church helps us to build this narrative of God's enduring love for all of humanity. As we look around the pews today, who do you see is or has contributed to your faith journey or the mission of the church? When you have an opportunity, go to them. Let them know how much you appreciate their faith, their service, and their contribution. As we continue in Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians, we read, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." Paul's words here are for the Thessalonians, but they're also for us. It is a timeless teaching that resonates across all generations. The gospel isn't just about your favorite hymn or a good sermon. It's about the radical, transformative power of the Holy Spirit that works deep within the human heart. The Thessalonian believers didn't merely hear the words of the apostles. They lived them. They witnessed the intense, life-saving power of the gospel firsthand. And in this age of never-ending busyness, information overload, and relentless distractions, it's crucial to ask ourselves, how is our walk with the Lord? Is our faith merely a ritual like the liturgy, relegated to Sundays? Or maybe it's a label that we wear, much like the word Christian? Or do we walk with the energy of the Holy Spirit every single day? Paul, in another one of his epistles, reminds believers to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5, verse 18. When looking at the Greek word behind the word filled in that sentence, we find it to be a verb, present tense, but passive, an imperative or command done by someone else. Being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't a one-time event, but it's an ongoing process, a continuous overflow of God's Spirit into our lives, out to others. This principle of being filled with the Holy Spirit has huge implications for the wider Christian church. A heart that has received the Holy Spirit doesn't stay silent. It can't. And the world is in dire need of Spirit-filled believers who are willing to be that foghorn, that beacon, sounding the warning, willing to share Christ's love and grace. We cannot be just individuals who can recite verses, but we need to be those who are willing to share their experience and the impact that the gospel has had on each one of us. And as our culture continues to decline into paganism, it becomes even more important to be hearers of the word, or be not only hearers of the word, but doers also. We must continually dive deeper into our relationship with God to allow the Holy Spirit to not just be a guest in our lives, but to take charge, steering our actions, our decisions, and our words. As we do this, our lives become that beacon, that lighthouse that shows the way, making the age-old gospel message come alive in the here and in the now. The Thessalonians were that lighthouse for the Macedonians and the people of Achaia, and our example for us to follow. Paul writes, "For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Paul here is amazed at the wide sweeping impact the Thessalonians' faith and witness has had. It wasn't just a private faith confined to the walls of their homes, their gatherings on Sunday, or even the boundaries of their city. It was vibrant and contagious, a foghorn warning and a beacon shining to the regions far beyond Thessalonica. It prompts us to ask ourselves, how loud and far-reaching is our faith? In an era of global communication, the potential of our faith and witness to touch lives across the world is almost beyond our comprehension. Yet the real power isn't the wideness of our reach, but it's the depth of our conviction. In this digital age, we have so many ways to reach out and shine the light of Christ. If Paul was here today, he would encourage us to use them to share our faith, testify to God's goodness, and uplift others. And while technology is a blessing, we can't forget the more traditional ways of service and mission, where hands-on interactions can develop genuine relationships and open doors for a deeper spiritual conversation. Paul goes on then to encourage the Thessalonians, invigorated by their newfound faith, to serve the living and true God and wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This waiting that Paul mentions wasn't passive. It was characterized by an intense hope and eager expectation. We also are called to live in this world, but we're not of this world. Our sights are set on the eternal, always ready for the glorious return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this active waiting and participation in Christ's return isn't merely about scanning the horizon, but it's looking inward, preparing our hearts. Recently, I read a leadership book that encouraged everyone, but especially church leaders, to engage in intentional spiritual disciplines. I believe Paul would agree. So as you pray, let it not just be a rote reciting of memorized prayer, but a heartfelt conversation with your Lord. Dive deep into the scriptures, letting its truth define and refine your spirit. These things, these disciplines, will not only help us be ready for Christ's return, but will energize that light that is in our lives so that we will be a glorious testimony of the hope that we have in him, inspiring others to seek that same eternal confidence. I think you'll agree with me, Paul was truly an incredible writer, a good communicator. Who knew that the first chapter of this epistle could be so full? Guided by the Holy Spirit, Paul, like the believers in Thessalonica, lived their faith, a constant beacon of light in an otherwise dark and stormy world. Their lives had become a living testament to the transformative power of the Word. It wasn't just about theological knowledge, but it was a heartfelt conviction that permeated all their actions and all their conversations with hope. And it pointed others to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And today we're faced with similar circumstances. Our cities might be different. Our circumstances might be a little different. But the core of the gospel remains unchanged. It's not just about attending church services or reciting prayers. It's about letting the gospel invade every aspect of our lives, letting it reshape our priorities, our passions, our purposes. So as we step out into another week, let's not be merely hearers of the word, but doers also. Let's not use abbreviations and one-word answers for the reason, for the hope, and the light that is within us. But let's share the love of Christ generously with others. Let the hope that we have in His return be the anchor that keeps us steady amid life's storms. And in a world full of darkness, let's be that lighthouse, that beacon, a beacon powered by the Holy Spirit that doesn't just shine, but it points the way. A beacon that through our lives of faith, hope, and love powerfully points others towards the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be said of us, as it was said of the Thessalonians, that our faith is known and spoken in every place, inviting others to a life-changing encounter with our Savior. And to God be the glory. Amen.